Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit betterhelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Well, good evening and welcome to Charlton Live, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. My name is Louis Mendes. Hope you guys are well on your Thursday evening. This is the big match preview as we gear up for Saturday's trip up to Fleetwood Town. The Addicts looking to extend their unbeaten run and see if they can't even extend their little winning run as well, two in a row. Joining me to look ahead to that game, first up, top right, Sue Gallop. How you doing, Sue?
All good, thanks, Louis. We're not having a game to talk about from Tuesday or Wednesday, but yeah, I'm sure we'll cope.
I'm sure we will cope. Normally, at many points during this season, I would have been happy if we hadn't been playing football, but actually at the moment, I'm quite enjoying it, so it'd be nice if we did have another game, but we've got one on Saturday. Also, joining us to look ahead to that one down the bottom of the screen there is Tom Wallin. How you doing, Tom?
Yeah, I'm good. I was just thinking the exact same. It's nice not to have a Tuesday defeat to talk about, but yeah, things are positive at the moment, aren't they? Just about safe, which is good.
Yeah, we will discuss that later on in the show, actually, because you'll be delighted to hear that I've been playing around on Excel and tried to work out if we are safe or not. That's something that we'll be looking forward to later on. Of course, we're going to talk, as I mentioned on Saturday, about the impending arrival of Kazenga Luai-Luai that was confirmed by Nathan Jones today. We'll hear what Nathan said on that in a few moments' time. We'll have a look at my little table, work out how many more points we need, if we need any. I thought it would be a fun discussion, actually, is to look at the bottom end of the Championship and the top end of League Two and just decide who we'd like to join us in League One next season as well. So we'll talk about that. If we get a chance, we might hear from Alfie May on Dan Carnu, but I'll just see how we are pressed for time later on. But he said some nice things about Dan on Saturday that I haven't used yet. In the second half of the show, obviously we'll look ahead to the game with Fleetwood. I put it out there saying, who should we have to discuss the COD Army? And about a million people all replied Nappers straight away. So I have spoken to Nappers. We spoke to him last night, so he'll give us the lowdown on Charlie Adams' side as they try and battle to stay in League One. Then, of course, we'll look ahead to the match from our point of view. We'll hear once more from the Addicts boss, Nathan Jones. Right, first things first. As I mentioned there the other day, on Saturday, I revealed on Twitter that the free agent that we were looking at was likely to be Kazenga Luai-Luai. I knew that Tariq Fosu was coming in as well. As it has played out, it has been Luai-Luai as expected. So we're just waiting for clearance on that, which we'll hear from Nathan Jones right now.
You asked, you mentioned post-match after Saturday that you hope to have an additional player coming in. Can you give us any updates?
Yeah, we've agreed with Kazenga Luai-Luai. We're just waiting for international clearance to see whether he'd be involved in the weekend, but it's a player I've worked with over a number of years, player I worked with at Brighton, where, you know, he was magnificent. Then he came in and did a similar job for me at Luton, and he's someone that we haven't got here. We've got, in wide areas, we have, like, Tyrese Campbell's probably the only natural one, but we wanted to have that option. So, like, I know Kazenga very well. Kazenga's just left Greece, so it was an ideal opportunity.
In terms of fitness, is he up to speed and can play straight away, or does he need some training first?
He's one of those physical phenomenons that you could chuck him. You could chuck him on the moon for a year, and he'd come back and be able to be potent for a certain amount of minutes. And that's the type of athlete he is. Great lad, fantastic player, has had a real good career, and I always enjoy working with him. So he makes us as a group, as a club, and hopefully he's an 11 better.
There you go. That's Nathan talking about the impending arrival then of Kazenga Luai-Luai, as I mentioned on Saturday, Sue. So he's got to go through international clearance, which also found out on Saturday that Connor Wickham had to do that as well, because his last club was in Wales, because he played for Cardiff. That's a weird little quirk of the rules for you. We have to get international clearance every time Tom comes on the show, actually, every week. But Luai-Luai, 33 years old, Sue. Been around the block a few times, but you know he's gone round it in style. So yeah, excited to see what he's going to bring, presumably for the rest of the season. I haven't actually seen confirmed anywhere how long this deal is going to be, but presumably for the rest of the season, and similar to Connor, I guess it will be a chance for him to try and play his way into a contract for next year.
Yeah, and apparently he can play on the moon. Got a funny comment. Yeah, I mean, when it was sort of said about him, I'm really excited about this signing. I think we're all very familiar with seeing him playing for Brighton and Luton. And again, I think as we're seeing now, the more that the people are kind of buying into Nathan's ideas and the way he plays and the way he sets up, he's not someone that would re-sign a player to us if he didn't feel like he was going to add to what we've already got. And obviously he's had him at Brighton and he's had him at Luton. So it's definitely a player that he puts his faith in and his trust in. So I think as a knock-on effect of that, then as fans, we should trust in that. Yeah, it will be interesting. I mean, again, I think if we're looking at building a club for getting promotion next season, he would definitely be someone that you could see actually doing a job in a team that's going to be going for promotion. So I guess if we're going to sign him, I would think it's probably going to be at least a couple of years, because I guess at his age, it's potentially going to be his last pro contract. What is he, 33, did you say? So it's potentially going to be his last club at this type of level. So yeah, I would quite happily give him a couple of years, knowing and seeing the ability that he's got, and the experience that he's got at playing at higher levels and working his way through the leagues, obviously.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, Tom, I mean, I'll be surprised if we go straight in with a long-term deal. I might be wrong on that, but my guess is we're going to have a proper look at him over the next few months just to see exactly where he is. I mean, like I say, it's one that Nathan knows. And I said on Sunday, like, you got to trust Nathan based on what he's achieved in these very early stages with us so far. He's improved players. He seems to have an eye for getting the best out of players that he knows as well. So, you know, and Robert saying Luai is quality. Do you think we might be going down the more experienced ex-Premier League freebies? I mean, do you see that sort of being the type of player that we want? Sort of players, I mean, he's played briefly in the Premier League, Luai, when he was with Newcastle at the start of his career, mainly in the Championship. But experienced ex-pros, ones that Nathan's trust, do you think you can see him doing a lot of that?
I think you need a bit of a mix. And I think the advantage of him having worked at clubs that are now near the Premier League, Luton being a good example, Southampton obviously being another one, that there's players in those camps that therefore are at that level and know Nathan Jones. So we've got that kind of combination. Whereas under previous managers, they've perhaps managed at this level or below. So if they are looking for players that they trust and players that they know, they're automatically at a level below. I don't like the idea of bringing too many players in that are just ex-Premier League and older. Remember when we brought Ricardo Fuller in, for example, you could see in terms of quality, he was a step above everybody else, but came with injuries and problems. And obviously his age was an issue. So you want a bit of a blend. But I think if Nathan's focusing on players that he trusts, then I think that's a good thing. Because, as you say, given what he's done so far with the players he has got, he's definitely moulding a bit of a squad here. And I think Luai himself just brings something different to us, because since Corey's gone, we haven't had that width. We've had to rely on the likes of Tenai and obviously Small coming in more recently, who actually, I think Tenai's done a good job in recent weeks, but they're obviously playing a lot deeper. And so the midfield has been a little bit more compact with them running around. But I think with Luai in the side or even in the squad, means that if you do want to turn it up and you want some width either side of a striker, then you've got a few more options there. So I'm leaning more towards what you think, in that we'll probably give him something to the summer, and if he impresses, then definitely, like Sue says, then you give him a contract for next year and you try and get him to kick us on to the Championship. Whether he could then do it at that level, I don't know, but again, that's a conversation for another day. So yeah, I'm excited to see him come in. He get a little bit of a cameo over the next, what is it, 7-8 games left, and see where we go from the summer.
Yeah, Dan says one word to describe Luar is backflip. Yeah, Peter pointing out that according to Wikipedia, Luar is Jan Kermigan's brother-in-law. It's absolute shoo-in to sign in then, isn't he? Anyone who's related to Jan is fine by me. Martin says getting match fit on the moon, that's got to be a first. Yeah, it could well be. Yeah, I mean, so more so the question is, I mean, Sam put it up there. He looks like a great play and looks more like it could be a 4-4-2 on the cards. So what we haven't seen from Nathan yet, which is something we were told he does do, but he hasn't had to do it yet, is we're told he doesn't tend to stick to one formation, or certainly not in game. He shifted up a bit, but I don't remember seeing too much of that at all. But certainly part of that will be the fact that we don't have wingers other than TC, Sue. So you can see he's trying to bring in more variety to the squad than what he was left with. It just shows how we sold our winger in January, and now we're getting another one in. It just shows the sort of a little bit of lack of joint up thinking when we're going through managerial change in a transfer window again.
Yeah, and I think obviously with Nathan wanting to have that flexibility to be able to change up formations and sort of rethink tactics and how we want to play our game as opposed to matching up against the opposition. I think, like you're saying, like I think a lot of people have been quite critical of our formation probably over the last couple of seasons, really, and how stuck we've been in that because we haven't got that flexibility in the squad. So, yeah, it'll be really good to see us being able to switch that up a bit. It might make things a little bit more interesting, a little bit more exciting. And again, going with that, really more what like he likes to talk about, being more front-footed and sort of advancing the pitch faster. That 4-4-2 allows you to do that more, doesn't it? So, I think it is just that thinking ahead of having that flexibility and the adaptability within the squad to be able to try the different formations and just catch other teams out, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it still sounds like nothing's going to be on the cards for Tariq then. So he has been down there, Tom, but yeah, it doesn't sound like we're going to be signing him anytime soon, if at all. It's sad, but I was just thinking what we should do is get him in Fleetwood away, where he scores a hat-trick, which he did previously, and then if we don't want him, get rid of him after that. Just get him in for his one job that he does.
Yeah, I think, am I sad about it? I mean, I'm nostalgic for him because he was here before, and obviously he did that hat-trick and he had moments of brilliance in him. I think, look, I don't know what level he's at now. Obviously, I haven't seen him play football regularly for a long time. So my thinking would be that if we're not looking at him, that's probably a good sign in the sense that the people we are looking at are a step above that. It's obviously a shame for him because he would have been hoping to come back to somewhere that he was familiar with. But ultimately, and I've had to say this a few times this season about various players and managers, our priority is Charlton. And ultimately, if Tariq doesn't fit in and he's not quite at the level that Nathan needs him to be, then we have to be ruthless in these decision makings. And we have to say sorry, but no thanks, and kick on with other players. So, yeah, I'm kind of, it would have been nice to see him again. You know, he's not somebody I hold ill will towards after his last stint with us, but ultimately if it's not right, it's not right.
Excellent. I've just seen Paul said looking forward to seeing the main man Nappers, and no offense, Lou, no offense taken, he was excellent when I spoke to him yesterday. We'll hear him later on in the show. Right, as promised, I've got an Excel spreadsheet for you. I know you're all really looking forward to it, but just to sort of take us into that, Nathan was asked earlier on about by Terry if he's been looking at sort of the other results over the last few days, and now the fact that the teams with games in hand on us can't catch us even if they were to win all of those games in hand as it stands.
That he's winning the results elsewhere this week, it means we can't be overhauled by the teams below us that had games in hand prior to that. Did that figure in your thoughts since your arrival? No. Or is it because our destiny's in our own
hands? Everything's about us. Like, if we do what we do and we, you know, we don't want to be reliant on anyone else. Like, it's nice that people are not winning games below us, but we have to start looking at different things, and we've got to take care of our own. We can't be relying on people. You know, I've always been a big believer that you control your own destiny. Everything's God's will, and you control, you know, you control and do what you can for your own self. Then everything else is secondary. But like I watched, the only game I watched in midweek was the Fleetwood Bristol Rovers game, because that was relevant to us. And apart from that, look, there's no concern what others do.
There you go. So that's what Nathan says. He says it's absolutely of no concern what others do in terms of staying up. So that means the obviously the only thing we can worry about is what we need to do. So let me show you this. I've ran some numbers, as I often do. So as you can see on my screen here, I've got the current league table on the left-hand side. That's us sitting in a lofty position of 15th with 44 points. You can see down the bottom there, the bottom four, Cheltenham are top of the bottom four with 34. So we're currently 10 points above them. But just to try and gain an understanding of what I think we might actually need for the rest of the season, I've just extrapolated their points per game that they've achieved over the course of the season. Now, so if Cheltenham were to continue on the run they've been on, and everyone else in the division, so Cheltenham will finish top of the relegation zone, but they'll finish on 43 points. So we could potentially already be safe if Cheltenham carry on going at the rate they've already been at, Tom. That's an indication that I think we're nearly there. Robert says 4 more points needed and we'll be safe. Traditionally, you need about 47, 48. But I don't know, I think we're right on the precipice now, Tom. Is that a fair assumption?
I mean, why do you always come to me with these graphs?
Because I know you love them.
Yeah. The only thing that says to me then, if 47 is normal, but 44 gets you relegated this year, is that vindication that this league's worse? Or does that make the league better because teams have at the top of one more? Basically, I just want confirmation that this league has been awful this year and we are an absolute joke for not going up, because that's kind of all we can hope for. But I think I was saying to the people around me, and I think I said it on Sunday's show, I'd like one more just to be sure. I think if it is going to be 1 point, that keeps us a little bit nervy, doesn't it? And we've definitely got it in us to throw it away on the last game of the season. So one more win between now and, is it Wickham on the final day? And that'll do me. Let's do it away at Cambridge in front of Lyle Taylor. That would be fun. That'll do it. And I reckon one more will do it.
I do feel a little bit cocky since the last time I brought up an Excel spreadsheet on the screen and I said, Cambridge have got a tough run. I'm fairly confident they've lost every single game since then. So I do look very clever now, see. That gives us a bit of freedom, doesn't it? I mean, other than Tom, who's obviously still not 100% there, I think that shows we're practically there now. And therefore, it does give us a little bit of freedom to maybe experiment in the last few weeks of the season with where we might find players that we want to play, like in the Luai and Connor Wickham staff, or maybe even give youngsters like Patrick Casey a go at the very end of the season.
I'm not so sure because as we know, and like listening to Nathan and how passionate he is, I think his aim will be, let's get as many points as we can on the board, because we don't want to be just going, we only need one more win, because then you get complacent and then it just all goes, let's just go for every game full on. Yeah, mix it up a bit with players, have a look. It does give you a little bit of freedom to maybe mix up the starting lineups or whatever. But at the same time, I think Nathan will be looking at it like, right, let's just go for it. Yeah, like, I don't even know. Have you done a graph of how high we could finish potentially?
Yeah, because that would be quite depressing.
Okay. So, could we probably just be outside the playoffs?
No.
Okay, not that good then. But yeah, I think it's just knowing his personality, he's not going to be like, it's all right, we only need another win or another 4 points and we're fine. He'll be drumming it into those players, because actually what I want to see for you as from you as players is why you should still be here next season, because he's already said the squad is going to be cut quite a lot in the summer. I would assume there'll be quite a few incomings. So if you're here and you want to stay here, you've got to show me what you've got for the rest of the season, regardless of what position we're in the table. He will demand that. So I know Tom's probably not as confident, but I feel like we've probably got a good few wins in us and for the rest of the season, maybe more.
Yeah, I mean, Bernie says we should play the best team every week. And Martin says Nathan Jones won't let them back off. Alan reckons we're going to finish around the middle of the table, which, to be fair, like a month ago, I would have bitten your hand off for. So, yeah, it could have been a lot worse. And like, it is about laying groundwork for next season. So, I mean, let's get carried away. And I mean, if we do get relegated now, this next segment is going to come back to look a bit ridiculous. But I thought, I was thinking maybe have a quick look at the table in the Championship and in League Two, just to see who could be joining us in the League One next season. So focusing on the Championship, I mean, it's a really tight relegation battle down there, other than for Rotherham, who are absolutely doomed. So we'll be making the trip to the New York Stadium next season. But as you can see down the bottom of the Championship there, Sheffield Wednesday and Huddersfield are inside the relegation zone on 38. Birmingham and QPR are just outside it on 39. Then you've got Plymouth, Blackburn and Stoke on 41. And you can probably just about go up to Swansea and Millwall on 43. Although, obviously, for those two clubs and like Watford and 45, a lot would have to go wrong for them to drop down with the amount of teams between them and where we are now. So it comes down to, I guess, Tom, you think about, you want clubs in League One next season that would on paper give us the best chance of getting promoted. So whereas last season everyone was looking at that Ipswich and that Sheffield Wednesday who were walking away with the division, you know, and especially Ipswich and to an extent Wednesday felt like they had a lot of money to spend, or definitely Ipswich. I'm not sure really how it worked with Wednesday, having said that, to be fair. But and then obviously a Plymouth side that had been building for a couple of years. Whereas this year, people, as we've sort of mentioned there, spoke about it being a weaker League One. So the weaker the better, really, for League One next season. So out of those clubs, I mean, who do you think would be the best ones to come down? Obviously, Rotherham are in there already.
I mean, Sheffield Wednesday, obviously their form looks good, but I feel like we always stand a good chance against them. So whilst there might be teams in that pack that are maybe financially worse off or maybe in a bit more turmoil, I wouldn't mind Wednesday, you know, because we seem to do all right against them most seasons. Obviously, it'd be great if Millwall came down, but that would be a guaranteed no points. So that would be a bit of a risk. But apart from that, I don't know, maybe a Stoke or QPR. I feel like they're not brilliant. We were saying the other day, weren't we, about Nathan Jones and the fact that nobody really has done a good job at Stoke at all in a while. So Stoke would be interesting. Selfishly, I'd quite like Blackburn just because my mate supports them. So not against him, but just so we'd have a game to go to together. But yeah, I think if it was Sheffield Wednesday, Stoke and Rotherham, I'd be happy enough with that, I think.
Yeah, so do you have a preference looking at the bottom end of the Championship, or which would make for the most competitive League One in our favour?
Yeah, I think what Tom says about Wednesday is true. Like, obviously they went up, didn't they? So that is effectively coming straight back down again. I don't know, it's a weird one. I quite fancy seeing how QPR would cope in League One. Because, I mean, they've got quite a harsh crowd. I think they're still living in their sort of Premier League mindset of we're a big club. I think it would be really interesting to see how they would manage being playing, because League, like whatever people say, League One is rough. Like, it's hard. And I wonder whether they would not necessarily cope with that intensity and that pressure that League One has. Like, obviously the Championship is a lot prettier in terms of footballing and the skill and stuff. So I quite fancy QPR and Wednesday.
Yeah, I mean, Michael says Rotherham, Huddersfield and maybe Plymouth. Might not be a bad shout. Sam says if Wednesday come down, do they take Backinson back? Do we want him to stay? I mean, it's still quite early in Tyreek's spell with us to maybe make a definitive decision. I think a couple of weeks ago everyone probably would have said no. He's got a goal now, maybe that give him a bit more confidence, who knows, but we'll see. Paul Davenport says maybe we can get another iconic result at Loftus Road. I mean, that's another reason why QPR coming down would be a bad thing. I've literally never seen us win there. I've never seen QPR lose at Loftus Road. I've done a couple of other games for them as well, like excluding us, and they've never got beat. All hell let loose, says they've obviously got no spare money. Hey to Sid, by the way, he was on Charlton TV on Saturday. Done really well on that, Sid. I watched that back. Well done for that. So also the top end of League Two then, Tom. So this is an interesting one into the equation. So if you're looking at top of the table, Mansfield on 69 points. Wrexham on 67, Stockport are on 66. They've got two games in hand. So that's the current top three. Then playoffs, you're looking at Crewe, MK, Barrow, Wimbledon, and then there's quite a lot of clubs just outside. So you could probably go down to like Newport, Morecambe, Gills, Crawley and Walsall to potentially get into the playoffs. Now, obviously, this is a slightly different one, Tom, because you'd expect the majority of these clubs coming out from League Two to not be able to compete financially with us, other than Moneybags Wrexham, of course. So, I mean, any preference out of those ones? Is it just a case of like the most tin pot clubs possible to come up on the assumption they won't be a threat like Barrow?
Well, the good news is the most tin pot's probably Gillingham. So then you've got a tin pot team and you get to see Johnny Williams back at the Valley. So it's win-win for me. Although you'd have to go back to there as well, which would be a shame. I think... yeah, probably. I'd love to see Wrexham drop out of that top three. That would be hilarious. And I don't know if Sue would say the same or not, really, with regards to Wimbledon. But for me, seeing Jacko back here managing somebody else would not be very nice. I don't know how I'd feel about that. So whilst on the one hand, obviously, seeing him get promoted with Wimbledon would be great, and I'd love that. I also don't know how I feel about seeing him in the Valley in the other dugout. So that's a tough one. But I don't want Milton Keynes to come up either. For obvious reasons. So yeah, if it was Barrow out of that playoffs as it stands now in the top three, so be it. But if Wrexham dropped out and maybe Barrow snuck in the top three, then it would be quite... I'd just personally quite like to see Gillingham back just to see Johnny Williams. So selfishly, it would be that.
Yeah, Barrow would be a good... So out of those grounds, I've not been to Wrexham and I've not been to Barrow for a match. I've been... Obviously, I went to Barrow's ground on my honeymoon to buy a mug. That's the sort of thing I get up to. People don't believe that story when I thought, I went to Barrow on my honeymoon. Because it's only just around the corner from the Lake District. But Sue, I mean, looking at those... I mean, the thing is, if Wrexham come up, at some point, obviously, this ride's got to end. But they do have the potential of those big, deep pockets behind them, don't they?
Yeah, and I went up there this season to actually watch Wimbledon. I mean, they've got such a good team. Like, they really have. Like, for a League Two team, obviously, they've got Parkey as manager. And I've always been... I mean, I don't agree with, like... Again, they're sort of like the Man City of League Two, aren't they? Just lob money at it. But at the same time, I think they've got some really good people at the club, including Parkey. Obviously, a few of their players used to play for us. So I wouldn't be against Wrexham coming up. It's a fun day out. It's a nice little ground. And yeah, I guess sentimentally, I would love to see Jacko get promoted. Yes, it would be weird to see him in the opposition dugout. But also, I guess... Again, on the emotional level, he never got to say goodbye to anybody when he left. And maybe that just gives him that opportunity for the fans to kind of say thank you. So yeah. I'd
this
go
is
with that.
Sounds harsh, but yeah, Wimbledon could never compete financially with us. So if they were to come up, no. that wouldn't be a bad shout for us because it would give us a much better chance of promotion as well. Michael says, spot on, Louis. Although that is us losing to Barrow next season. Now, well, I do deserve that, what I've said. Martin says, please no Gillingham or AFC Wimbledon. All hell let loose says Wrexham to drop out of the top three and get beaten in the playoff final by Crewe Alexandra. There we go. Right, we're going to have a quick break. When we come back, we'll turn our attention to Saturday's trip up to Fleetwood Town. Thinking about a new kitchen or bathroom? Find professional, independent local installers with free home surveys, itemised quotes and protected payments, trading standards approved contracts and workmanship warranties. The British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom, Bathroom Installations accredits installers to ensure they are police checked, fully insured and experienced. Take the risk out of home improvement. Visit bikbbi.org.uk.
Hello fellow addicts, I'm so excited to tell you all about our micropub, The River Ale House. The River Ale House is based in East Greenwich. It has 6 Pub of the Year awards, an ever-changing selection of amazing beer, It's owned by Charlton fans, walkable to the ground in just 20 minutes with buses that go direct to the Valley too. If your match day routine includes a drink with your friends, you must join your fellow addicts in the river. See you soon.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. We're making the trip up to Fleetwood Town on Saturday. Actually, just based on what we were just discussing before the break there, Callum says, if Crew come up, you know that Kirk will score against us. It's, I don't know where I saw it today, maybe on the forum or something, but someone linked a story about when we signed Charlie Kirk, and there were quotes from Sandgaard saying how great he's going to be, and also saying, you know, we had Liam Miller last season. I think he's an even bigger talent than Liam Miller. As I, it shows what Sandgaard knew, didn't it? Because I think Miller ended up playing Champions League and is now like doing quite well in the Championship, and Charlie Kirk is back with Crewe Alexandra, it would appear. Right, yeah, Fleetwood on Saturday. This has got to be the most requested guest fan from an opposition we've ever had. It's a well-known vlogger and blogger. He's a guy called Nappers, who's a big Fleetwood Town fan. He does COD's vlogs. He's got that League One pod as well. That he does. Plenty of you know about him. So I sat down for a chat with him yesterday to find out a little bit about Charlie Adams' side. Right, well, we're joined now by Ben from COD's Vlogs, or you may know him better as Nappers, ahead of Saturday's away trip up to Fleetwood Town. Ben, thanks for joining us. Sitting inside the relegation zone, 6 points adrift. Do you think you guys can still get out of it?
It's a tough question. You know, as games go on, you're kind of thinking, well, we could be relegated in, you know, 3 or 4 weeks' time, or, you know, you put a, you know, a few results together. You know, we're 5 unbeaten, and I'm kind of thinking, well, maybe we should have won 4 and drawn the other. And, you know, that's 8 points. And every game I'm coming away from frustrated, thinking, you know, it's 2 points dropped. We've still gained a point. We're still, you know, still in the hump. But you're kind of thinking the points that we've dropped, we could, you know, I know it's obviously easier said than done. And, you know, at times we've been fortunate to get a point. You know, at times last night, and especially against Port Vale, it's frustrating. But we've got 8 games to go. They're a tough 8 games. We've got to go to Orient. You've got to go to Blackpool. You've got to go to Ox. You've got to go away to Peterborough. You've got to play yourselves at the weekend, which is going to be a really, really difficult game. You've got to play Northampton, who are you know, doing well for themselves. Cheltenham, who are down there, and Burton, who are down there. If we're still in with a fight that late on, so. You know, busy period, but, you know, wins, you know, needed now. We've turned draws in, from losses into draws, but it's turning those draws into victories.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, you're undefeated in 5, but 4 of those are draws. I mean, do you feel like you're close to getting the results that you need? Are you in all these games at least?
Absolutely. And, you know, you look at yourselves as well, that you kind of obviously run an awful run of, you know, of fixtures, and you drew a few, you know, when Nathan first came into the football club, into the building, and you turned them into wins recently as well. And you've just seen that what, you know, winning 2 or 3 games in, you know, a 4-game period, 2-week period can do. It's pretty much, you know, from January onwards has changed your season. And, you know, a 2-week period can change your season. I always say, you know, Saturday to Saturday where you play, Saturday, Tuesday, Saturday. If you win 3 or get 7 points, you know, you're in 4. And if we get 3 on Saturday, that's 5. And it's, I would have taken that from those 3 games. Probably not in the order of that we're going to get them if we do win. But no, we are still in with a chance. I do believe that we are improving. The players weren't fighting under the last 2 managers. I'm now seeing fight. I'm now seeing great togetherness. And he's ultimately just been a bit too late. I kind of think, well, we had a... a kind of an eight-game period where I think we lost seven of the eight or the nine games, and we're getting hammered as well. But, you know, although Charlie Adams got a point per game ratio like Lee Johnson has, the performances have been much better. We've been in every single game, and we should be at least 9 points better off if it wasn't for, you know, either mistakes or maybe just a bit of extra quality in that final third.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned, similar to us, you're on a free manager season, which is never a good sign. No. I mean, Charlie seems to have put some fight into them. I mean, like us, do you sort of regret the one that's come in the middle? I think Michael Appleton's tenure has just completely derailed our season. Was that the same with Lee Johnson for you? Was he not the right replacement for Scott Brown?
Well, you look at it, you know, you said Dean Holden a week before, you know, Scott Brown. Scott Brown actually got sacked after the reserve fixture, you know, at the Valley. And you know, you look at the first six games, and I wasn't a massive fan of Scott Brown. First six games of the season, we went away at Bolton, went away at Derby, went away at Charlton. Let's be honest about that. We were going to, you know, you look at that at the start of the season, you're thinking, well, there's certainly three of my top six at the start of the season. You know, we had, you know, home games against Cambridge and Shrewsbury in there as well. And we went away at Carlisle the opening day of the season, which you think first game in the League One for, I think, 10 years. It's a difficult start, that. And I always thought if we can get a point per game, unfortunately, only got a point. Johnson comes in. It takes him a while to get up and running. And then we get up and running, you know, in other competitions, kind of, you know, beat Kidderminster, beat Leicester's, you know, under-21s, and managed to get a couple of, you know, good points away at, you know, Barnsley, Blackpool at home as well. We were just conceding too many goals. And it kind of felt, well, he kept talking about bringing players in, and he didn't really praise the players that were in the building. And we had kind of 2 months with these players. And it kind of felt, well, he maybe did that bit of slagging off, sit-down conversations are probably 6 weeks too early. That faltered him. And I was shocked when we actually sacked him, because I thought, well, it was right before the January transfer window. And I honestly believe, and I think Charlton will be in the same boat, if you appointed Nathan Jones when you're appointing Nathan, you know, when you're putting Michael Appleton, sorry, you'd be pushing top 10, top six minimum. And we'd be, I think, around 15th, 16th, where I think this squad, you know, belongs. So, you know, although kind of, you know, performances, you know, have been better, it's still not an improvement in points per game. But when you're looking at the football and you're thinking, we have got a chance in games where before we were kind of lucky to get any points at all, really.
Did it feel like your season was always one that was set up to fail after what went on with the owner being jailed for fraud in the summer? Andy Pilley has obviously been there bankrolling the club for a long time, and now he's gone away for a long time instead.
Yeah, I think we lost a little bit of security, shall I say, that kind of, it's weird because everybody expected it. I don't think they expected for the length and what was going to happen. I always remember just sitting down, you know, before a live stream one day, and obviously we knew of the consequences for about a year before, but I always thought, you know, nothing really serious will happen, as you often do. And you kind of think, oh, you know, he's not going to be able to run the football club. And then no one knows what's happening. No one knows what to kind of run. And they are good guys at Fleetwood, the good number twos and number threes, you know, behind Andy. Andy made a lot of the decisions. And if there's any unrest in the changing room, Andy would quickly sort it out. He'd quickly get the key influence players, your captains, your experienced players upstairs, speak, what's going wrong? Is the manager right for you? We lost that, and it has been massive for us. And recruitment wasn't bad. I think that some areas we could have recruited a left back, could have recruited a nippy forward. We didn't do that. And the team on paper, like Josh Hill, Josh Vella, Jack Murray, Jaden Stockley, it's a decent team, you know, for League One standards to stay in this division. It's not a team that, in my eyes, can go 13 without a victory, that, you know, can be bottom, can be 13 points adrift at one stage in the season. And no, the Andy Pilley situation has made a big halt. Three managers in the season. I actually said, you know, on my channel about a month before, if you are looking at sacking a manager for the third time in a season or a second time in a season, that's instant relegation, and we go and do it. And no, it's been a difficult season and a difficult period for the football club, because Andy was, you know, the daddy of Fleetwood, should I say. He looked after everything, and we haven't kind of got that guidance now. And everyone's a bit all over the place, should I say.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, he sort of steamrolled this progression through the league. It's famous, you know, Fleetwood's story is famous. But I always wonder, like, for a club the size of Fleetwood Town and where they've come from, what are their expectations in League One? You've been up there for a while now, so I guess you become accustomed to it, but do people still take a step back and think, well, actually, we are, you know, quite a small club even for this level?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, our population can get into your stadium. You know, our popular, you know, Derby's ground, you know. And I'm going away at stadiums still, Portsmouth, Charlton, you know, Bolton, you know, of this world, just to name a few in this division. There's plenty more. And even like your big city clubs, like your Oxford, your Lincolns, who are, you know, much bigger than us, bigger towns. You know, our town's 26,000, got the sea next to us as well. You know, we are probably a National League North size football club, punching well above our weight in terms of, you know, look, we've got good facilities that we've been able to have thanks to the owner. You know, it's, in my opinion, the top five, top six best in this division. It's a high championship facility, you know, and it's able to attract players. And then, you know, the budget is a competitive one. I think it's about 14th or 15th, I'd say, in this division. And, you know, my aim is, and everyone gets sick of me saying this, is 50 points every season. And it'll talk to me when we get to 50 points. And, you know, a couple of seasons we battled with the playoffs, a couple of seasons that we've been in trouble. But no, Fleetwood Town just being a football club, being in League One, I'm very happy with. Obviously, it's not been nice this season. All I want is from a team of Fleetwood is to fight, to give everything, to go to the very end, to look hungry, to look like they're in a game. And I never saw that on the Brown first six games, never saw that on the Johnson for about 10 games. I saw it for the first five or six. Under Adam, I think I've seen it in every single game. I think I saw that in every single game. So that's all I want, a bit of fight, a bit of hunger, and we're getting that at the moment. And if we give that, I'm very happy, no matter if we win, lose or draw.
Excellent. And just find them. You've got a few of our former players. So I didn't even realise Kilkenny was with you. We had him on loan for about 5 minutes last season, but I won't ask too much about him. But how have Stockley and Wiredu been getting on? Because they obviously, particularly Stockley, was a big player for us for a while. And Brendan came up through the ranks and people thought he had a good future, but he never really happened for him at the Valley.
Brendan's been an absolute monster. Brendan Wiredu is, in my opinion, our best player. He's our captain now, and he's thrived off being captain. Our last captain, less said the better, but Brendan has come in. He's a role model for the other players. You know, he connects with the fans. He knows what the club's all about. You know, he's moved into a centre-half role, and he's been a revelation there. He's got Charlie, he's got the best out of him. You know, really, really, you know, bright future, and I genuinely believe if he, you know, he signed a new long-term deal, I think he's going to go for over £1 million. I really do. I think he'll go this summer if we go down. Kilkenny has looked bright since coming in the last three or four games. He's probably been our best player in a lot of the games, in a lot of the moments. Scored a goal that was deflected, hit the ball last night as well. He's got, you know, a good on both feet, agile, nippy, can play forwards, run forwards, and a good player at this level. And hopefully that he can stay, you know, fit till the end of the season, because we're going to need absolutely everyone for the last eight games of the season. Jaden, yeah, good player. Struggled at the start. Obviously, you know, he only scored one goal up to Boxing Day. And obviously scored on Boxing Day. Charlie's come in. I think he's got 8 goals, 4 assists in about 15 games now. Obviously not scored in the last couple, but looks lively. I've noticed he can run and jump, but he can't do the same at the both times. He's better when he's got nippy forwards with him up front that can do his running. So we go along into Stock, he'll hold it up, flick it on for a Coughlin or a Promise or a Phoenix or a Junior, and they'll run on and do kind of getting behind. And then obviously in the box, he's, you know, really good, and, you know, he gets a shot away. You know, he often, you know, tests the goalkeeper. Obviously a couple of tame shots last night, and you know, he gives everything. So you know, I'm a big fan of Stockley. Obviously, I don't think he's up to Charlton standards of trying to get him into the playoffs, but for Fleetwood, if he can score 12 goals, 15 goals a season, I think I'm going to need another 3 or 4, maybe 5 off him if we're going to stay up this season. But since Charlie's come in, Brendan and Jaden Stockley are probably the two best players alongside Boston Lowell, who's another one to look out for at the weekend, you know, number 5 in central midfield.
There we go. That was Nappers, who very kindly joined me last night to talk all things Fleetwood ahead of Saturday's game up there. Yeah, as Jake Kells has pointed out, they got Junior Quitrina as well on their books. I didn't realise that, but I don't think he played the Bristol Rovers game on Tuesday. Shiny Phil says, I felt really bad for Stockley after he'd been quite prolific for us for a while. Felt he was mismanaged and then looked lost when we played him up front on his own. I was going to talk a little bit more about Jaden because, yeah, his last 6 months or so with us were pretty poor, but I thought overall his time with us was good. you know, discounting those last few months here. And he scored at the Valley earlier on in the season, of course. So I'm sure he'll be eager to try and get one over us. But more importantly for them, they need the wins, which we don't as massively do now.
Yeah, I mean, he's infectious listening to him, isn't he? And I think if they've got a fan base like that, then that's your 12th man, isn't it? But I guess, yeah, like he's saying, they have got some decent players there. They have sort of floated along for the last few seasons. And I mean, I don't know, you like to see clubs like Fleetwood do well because of where they've come from. I think it, like, you've got a little town like Fleetwood that you just really like seeing. Again, it's like, I don't want to sound like I'm patronising or anything like that, but it's like that, you always sort of root for the underdog, don't you? But I think, yeah, Jaden, I feel the same as you, Louis. Like, I felt like it was really sad the way it ended, because he had been good for us, and then the formation or whatever was going on at the time just didn't work out for him. And so I'm hoping that he's sort of now getting back to the Jaden that we saw at his best for Fleetwood, to hopefully keep him up. Because like you say, we need more clubs like Fleetwood doing well in the leagues, because it gives, again, it gives those non-league League Two clubs more hope for getting up there.
Yeah, although I don't know how that sort of ties in with then the owner going to jail for fraud, but we'll see how that works. Jay Kells says, remember Jaden said he wanted to retire here in a post-match interview at Charlton. It's a sad fall off. At times during his last 6 months, it looked like he had retired. Unfortunately, he was struggling with us. Sam says Jaden and Alfie would have been a great pairing this season. He had that problem with his back, didn't he, as well, Jaden, which I wonder if that held him back a little bit. Tom, from our point of view, obviously we can't go there and be generous, because they're in a relegation battle, but we've obviously got to be wary of a team that seems to have become quite hard to beat over the last few weeks. Ben was saying there, Napa's, Tom, like they've been in every game, so I don't think anyone who's just looking at the table and saying, right, Fleetwood are down there, is going to be easy. It'll probably be similar to Cheltenham in that it'll be a battle, and we're going to have to work hard to get the points.
Yeah, I don't think at this stage in the season you can take any game for granted, because a lot of teams are fighting for something, either at the top or the bottom. We're one of the few that potentially aren't. And maybe, as I said earlier, maybe we still are. But yeah, I don't remember us ever having an easy time there. Maybe that Tariq Fosu hat-trick aside. I always feel like it's a difficult place to go. Our away record obviously has improved recently with those couple of wins we've had at Cheltenham and Derby, but largely our away record this season has been awful as well. So yeah, it's not going to be easy. Charlie Adams got them to a level where they're not losing games, even if they're drawing a lot and not winning them. But yeah, I'm sure they're going to be competitive. And as you've both said, really, we can't take it for granted. It's a game that you'd hope we can get something from, be it one or 3 points. But, you know, at this stage, everyone's fighting for their lives. They've got that ex-player bonus as well, haven't they? Because ex-players seem to do well against us. And as you say, Jaden's already done that once this season. So, yeah, it's not going to be an easy game by any stretch. And I haven't felt like I've said that too much, but at this stage in the season, you just can't tell what's going to happen. But if Nathan keeps them fired up, which he's been good at doing so far, and if we play our game, kind of as he was saying on that interview you had with Nappers there, then we probably should have enough in our team to beat him. But that doesn't mean we will.
Yeah, Callum saying, what, Nappers didn't mention that there was Stockley's goal against us was his only one before Boxing Day. Sam says, I think Jones would put a rocket up them after the Carlisle game. Hopefully it'll be a big scoring game. Stuart says it's going to be a typical North versus South away game. Hoof it, clog it, and a very difficult pitch is what he said in a certain way of putting it. So, I mean, Nathan's got his own way to describe the pitch. Let's hear Nathan Jones then look ahead to Saturday's trip up to Fleetwood Town.
Conorine is a, you know, partially because of the injury situation. With that, how's the squad generally, and Lloyd Jones specifically, of course, because he missed...
Yeah, very good, very good. We pulled Lloyd out because we had Heck coming back, and we obviously play with three centre-halves and stuff anyway, and we had a Simway that can fill in and things. So Lloyd just had a little niggle that we've just sorted out, so he needed an injection, like an easy injection. So we managed to give it to him and then free him up so he could train fully this week.
I think one of the things that fans will be noting since you've arrived is that prior to your arrival, with the injuries that we've had, like with Chucks, with Lloyd and others, that would have hurt us a lot in the past, whereas now it seems to be that the players that are coming in and stepping in and doing what you're asking.
Okay, everyone's been magnificent since I've come in. The players need to, and also cliche managers, like, you know, but they have. I mean, everything I've demanded from them. I haven't asked them to do stuff. I've demanded stuff from them, and they've been magnificent on a daily basis. They give me everything. They take on board the intelligence levels they've shown, the humility, the desire for work rate, and then the camaraderie. And you know, it's a wonderful place. You know, I love being here, and they've made my life far easier. But if I'm honest, there's a good group of players here that want to learn, want to get better. And we're nowhere near where we want to be. Nowhere near, but we're starting to lay a foundation.
Fleetwood up next on Saturday. Another club fighting for survival, and they've proven to be a tough team. It's a tough team to beat under Charlie Adam. Only two defeats in the last 10. What sort of contest are you expecting?
Exactly that. Really tough. I mean, the pitch is a bit rustic up there, like in terms of stuff. So it'll be a difficult game with the conditions, but it'll be a difficult game. They're in decent form. As I said, I've watched them. They were down to 10 men after 68 minutes against Stevenage, and well, I won't say the best chance, but I had a really good chance to have won it. They'll be well drilled under him. I know Charlie very well. So they're difficult. And it's always a difficult place to go to at the best of times. But, you know, in the recent form they've been in, it'll be a tough game. But obviously, I'm sure that they'll be thinking exactly the same.
And finally for me, the Wigan game, just been called off. Do you see that as a chance to recharge batteries, or a bit of a pain because of the congestion it's going to bring a bit further down?
I see it as a pain because we're in good form and everything. I would have preferred to have found a way around it in terms of juggling and maybe seeing who, because we would have had people missing, but I would have utilised the squad because I think it's just important to keep a bit of momentum. I think that, you know, having a 2-week break now, we don't need it, not this stage of the career, of the season, not with there being 5 weeks of the season left. We don't need a 2-week break. You know what I mean? What we need is just continuity. So it's a bit strange, but it is what it is.
There you go. That's Nathan looking ahead to Fleetwood. And as mentioned right at the end there, obviously next Saturday's game at home to Wigan is off. It's going to be postponed until Tuesday in early April, I think about the 9th. Yeah, the 9th. So we've got a weekend off next weekend. Wigan playing silly buggers, says all hell let loose by having players go, of course, on international duty. I mean, they're not really in danger anyway. Let's get the season night over, really. But yeah, Sam says, I just love listening to Jones. He could name a team of 11 debutants and I'd still trust him. Already my biggest worry is how long we can keep hold of him. All hell let loose. Sent us something on Twitter as well, worrying about that. I mean, it's very early days to be worrying that our manager might leave. He's only been here for about 6 weeks, but he's certainly going to be rebuilding his reputation with us for a while. Hopefully that'll be the case. So I'm not too worried about that just yet. But yeah, as Sam said, he loves listening to him talk. I did enjoy the use of the word rustic to describe the pitch. So it just meant, was it, there's going to be like a barn on it or something. That's very good. Team news started off with the Lloyd Jones stuff. So the reason he was missing last week so he could have an injection. According to Nathan, it sounds like he'd be available. So all hell let loose. First of all, ask, will we bring him back in specifically to play against the headmaster? Is that a change you'd see happening Saturday, Sue?
That's a tough one, isn't it? Because we've actually been playing not too badly. So it feels like it would be fairly harsh on whoever would be dropped for Lloyd to come back in. But then I would feel more comfortable, I think, with Lloyd defending against Jaden. So I think that would be a change I would make, as harsh as that is with the lads that have been playing and doing a good job there. He is our best defender, isn't he? So I'd change it.
Yeah, I mean, there's still that lack of clean sheets Tom. I think Portsmouth is the only one we've kept under Nathan, which is still something that needs tidying up. And he spoke a little bit about how the goals we conceded against Carlisle were quite frustrating goals to concede. So maybe he might be minded to try and change things up in that regard. I mean, elsewhere on the pitch, I'm not too sure how many other changes he'd be desperate to make. You know, why change a winning side and all that? You know, Dobson and Coventry seemed to work reasonably well against Carlisle, more so second half. I didn't think we were great first half. But yeah, I mean, is there anything that you're particularly minded to try and switch up? Is it at this stage of the season where, well, you know, if Luar's fit, maybe he might be on the bench minimum. But is it at this stage of the season, maybe we're a couple wins away of actually really experimenting with sides when we get to the end of the campaign?
Yeah, I don't think there's a whole lot. I think Caroy, I felt, looked a little bit tired on Saturday. I know he's had a week now because we haven't had a Tuesday night game, but I wonder whether you just take him out the firing line. I think he's been absolutely excellent, including last weekend, but he did just look a little bit tired. Maybe the same. I don't think Kanu did look tired, but again, do you want to keep just flogging a youngster? Now we've got Connor Wickham in. I don't know if he can play 90 minutes, but maybe you play him from the start. So there's a couple of options, but really I think it's just preservation of players now and just managing players so that they don't get some sort of injury that keeps them out over the summer, because realistically our target, assuming we stay up, is obviously promotion next year. And we've seen time and time again the importance of a good solid pre-season. So any players that we're sort of looking at and thinking, right, they're going to be in that starting 11 next year, you want them to be fit and raring to go. And so you don't want any of them to get something towards the back end of the season. So maybe that, but largely, no, I don't think he changes too much. As you say, he's not somebody who's going to rotate an awful lot if he's got a side playing well. I know the goals conceded is still an issue, but largely we are playing well and we are getting results. So, yeah, I can't see much else other than that. It doesn't sound like Chucks is going to be back, and obviously Miles isn't. And midfield-wise, as I say, unless you're dropping Caroy maybe just to rest him, I don't think there's a lot there either.
Yeah, I mean, you mentioned Dan now. Well, I did save this from the other day, just in case we got a chance to use it. And I think you should hear what I asked Alfie May. Obviously, he's been an experienced goal-getter at this level for a long time, just what he's made of Dan Kanu so far this season.
And as well, I mean, obviously, he's a much, much younger player, still learning his trade very much, but he's had a remarkable sort of coming-of-age season.
Yeah, he's probably first name on the team sheet, isn't he, at the minute? You can see it from another striker. You can see that he just knows where the net is. He's gone on loan to Southend, probably that he needed. I know it was only short, but he scored goals there, and he's come back and he's grabbed a shirt with both hands and he's playing week in, week out, and he's scoring goals, and he's unbelievable. He's him and Caroy. Charlton have got great players on their hands with them too. They, like I say, they're probably going to go to the top level because they work hard every day. They're just everything about them. They're superb, and they deserve everything that's going to come their way.
There we go. I mean, that's real high praise there from Alfie for Dan. Quite humble as well, obviously, for Alfie to say that Dan is the first name on the team sheet. But we've seen that over the last few weeks when there has been sort of flitting of the strikers, that Dan has been the one that stays in, and whether it's Ladapo or May coming in to switch sort of alongside him. So it is good to hear, though. Like, I mean, it'd be very interesting to see how far his career goes, because this season for Dan has just been spectacular. See,
yeah, I mean, I think even prior to this season, I know quite a lot of the fans that watch the development squad, like the 23s and the 18s, had been raving about Dan for years. So it was no real big shock. I guess the shock is how good he is as quick as it has been. So, yeah, having that loan spell out, I think we've talked about younger players needing those loans out sometimes at a lower club that kind of gives them that bit of confidence and freedom to then come back full of confidence and be able to just hit the ground running. So it's yeah, I love listening to Alfie talk about it, because again, he's an experienced player, and when you've got someone that's sort of in his 30s showing that much respect to someone who's still a teenager, it's lovely to hear. And I guess it says a lot about the team dynamic and how well everyone sort of gelled together, because there's no sort of, well, I guess, egos or anything like that. It's Nathan wouldn't stand for that. But it's, yeah, it's just lovely to see one of our own doing so well.
Yeah, Dan says, well, he says Carney will be a target for the likes of Brentford and Brighton in the summer. He also says that seeing Tedic on the list of goal scorers has made me think about banning all loans from Man City. We did get two. It's two more than the other one we've had from Man City so far. Poor old Lewis Fury. He's just not getting the chance at all at the moment. As Sam points out, massive shout-out to our academy work, seeing the likes of Gomez and Konsa being picked for England today. Yeah, it's always a very proud moment. Right, we've run out of time on this week's big match preview. Massive thanks to everyone who's joined us live on YouTube. Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're ticking up quite nicely as there. Subscribe where you get your podcasts as well, so you can listen to the show twice. That'd be a good thing to do, wouldn't it? Listen to it twice. Listen to it as many times as you want. Massive thanks to Nappers, who joined us as our guest from Fleetwood earlier on. It was great to hear from him. Hopefully we'll hear from him again next season if Fleetwood can stay up. Massive thanks, Sue and Tom, as per always. Great to speak to you.
Cheers, both.
Thank you, both.
There we go. I'm Louis Mendes. This has been Charlton Live, the big match preview, sponsored by the British Institute of Kitchen, Bedroom and Bathroom Installation. We shall see you again on Sunday when we'll look back at the game up at Fleetwood. We'll see you later.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.